Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com. And the Jay-Z song, the Lord. So I put my
Well, I just tweeted out a selfie with the caption, "I'm in a small room with Matt Beasler and a loaf of homemade povetitza bread. Is this a dream?" I'm not dreaming. It's really happening. We're at the McFadden Studio in the Power and Light District. And what are we now? 4 hours away from kickoff between the United States men's national team and England. And you're already starting to kind of see the signs of what is to come in the little calm before the storm here in the Power and Light District. The security folks have set up the barricades on the entrance to each side because people, once again, are going to need tickets to come down here. The tickets were free. The tickets do not guarantee entrance. Once this place is full, they're not going to let anybody else in, whether you have a ticket or not. So make sure you get here early. It opens at 10:30, so an hour and a half from now, but starting to wake up down here a little bit. Matt Beasler is here. And tell me, first of all, you show up with this incredible-looking U.S. men's national team jacket. What's the story behind this one? Where did you get this one? Was this a warm-up top that you guys used in training? What's the story here?
This jacket is a warm-up top that we wore while playing with the national team. This is going to sound bad, but I don't remember exactly what it was for.
Yeah.
It was, I can't remember if it was for when we were traveling or if this was something we wore before the game. I want to say we wore these before one of the games.
Okay.
You know how teams
like
come
the
out?
The anthem jacket.
Yes,
call
exactly.
You wear it when you're playing the national anthem.
Yes, anthem jacket. You rip it off right before you play.
Yeah. How much U.S. men's national team gear do you just have laying around your house from, I got 47 caps, 47 times you played for the U.S. men's national team, including every game of the 2014 World Cup. How much gear like that you just got laying around your house?
I have a ton.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
And I feel like I give it away. Throughout my playing days, I was trying to give as much stuff mm-hmm. away as I could, family, friends, all that. And I still have, you know, tubs of stuff down in my basement, this being one of them.
Well, you know, I'll put up my hand. I'll take some gear if you need to get rid of some. You know, I don't have any U.S. national team gear. All I have is the obnoxious sleeveless shirts and stuff that I'm wearing out here to do the watch party stuff. This is incredible, man. I mean, you got a big smile on your face. How excited are you about this? Like, what are your emotions like on a day like today? Now that we've talked about it, you're on the fan side of this whole thing.
Yeah, this is new. I'm excited just to experience cheering and rooting and being part of the group on the other side. And definitely less pressure, which I love. I woke up this morning and just excited. Still invested, obviously, as a fan, but not as invested.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Gorgeous day, you know. Week out or day after Thanksgiving, and we're talking about probably sunny and in the 50s. It's going to be perfect outside. So, and then on my way in today, I was thinking about the last time I got to experience something like this with, you know, a watch party and a crowd. And I was here in 2010 when we played England.
Oh, man.
And that was the last time that I was at Power and Light for a soccer game.
So that was the game where the goalkeeper for England kind of boxed it into his own goal, right? And it ended up in a 1-1 draw, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Did I get all that right?
Yeah.
I was in the Johnnies at that time for that game. And that was the first time I'd ever watched a U.S. men's national team in a big crowd. And that was, if I remember correctly, yeah, that was the year they ended up losing to Ghana in the knockout rounds, right? And that watch party, that was the first real one where the actual whole living room area was packed. Because if I remember correctly, that England watch party was cool because all the bars in the Power and Light District were packed. But then by the time that Ghana game rolled around, the whole living room was jam-packed. And then, of course, every one of those watch parties for your World Cup in 2014 was like that. And now it's just like it's everybody knows that Women's World Cup, Men's World Cup, this is the place to be. By the way, before we get into all this, too, you put on a state soccer hat for a second when you were in here. You guys got a pop-up store down here today as well. I remember you did on the first game.
Yeah, we do. We do. So we've partnered with Messenger Coffee and No Vacancy down here. And so we're set up there this morning. Encourage people, if you're looking to come by, I know you got to get here early, but go stop by Messenger Coffee. We've got a cool little Airstream that we've done up and basically created our own pop-up shop for states. So there's a bunch of fun activities down there, and it's a great spot to come before you go to Power and Light, get some coffee, breakfast, fuel up for all the energy that you're going to be needing.
Okay, so full disclosure, I'm not on the payroll at State Soccer, but I have received some swag from Matt Beisler and Seth Sinovic over the years from States. And if you're wondering what it is, if you haven't heard of it before, I know you guys call it a lifestyle brand. Is that what it is? But I look at it like Lululemon with a soccer twist on it. And I mean that a compliment in the way of, like, it's the most comfortable clothes I've ever worn. I've got a couple long-sleeve shirts. I've got a couple short-sleeve shirts. I got a pair of pants and a pair of shorts, all from States. And the quality is just incredible. The comfort level of it is good. That athleisure type thing where it's not a jersey where you feel like I got to be wearing a jersey. Like, you can wear it in a lot of different circumstances. And what I like about it is the States logos, they're on there, but they're kind of minimalist, so you can wear the stuff with anything. Like the shirts I have from States, I wear all the time because I can wear them with any kind of color combination or any other stuff. So there's my plug for you. It's great. It's great stuff. I mean, I love your guys' stuff.
Thank you. Thank you. I honestly can't say it any better than you can, so we might need to hire you on the side to market some of
it. I will say this, I need to lose 10 pounds. It'll look a lot better on me if I did that. Like it's not the most form-fitting stuff ever, but it is that soccer brand, so it's like people that are fit, you know? Like I feel like it works better. It's great stuff. So come check it out. Where is it again? Messenger Coffee?
Yeah, Messenger Coffee down here in downtown Crossroads.
Okay. Right on. Well, we got Matt Beisler here. When you woke up, did you didn't wake up early enough to actually watch the Wales game, or did you?
No, I didn't.
Against Iran? Okay.
No.
I'll be honest. I was very interested in the scoreline of the game. I would not have woken up early enough if I didn't have a show to do, and I didn't watch the whole game. I woke up, and I immediately looked at my phone and thought, I'll check the score. And stupidly, assuming, I was hoping it would be like maybe Saudi Arabia's in the game. You know, maybe it's a tie game or something.
Iran?
Yeah, what did I say?
Saudi Arabia.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. We'll get to Saudi Arabia in a second. I was hoping Iran would be in the game. I was hoping for a draw for United States purposes. I did not expect – so it was about the 85th minute or so when I woke up and looked at the score. 0-0, okay, encouraging. Then I see Wales have a red card. They're playing down a man. So now I'm watching the last 5 minutes, and then, of course, like every game in this World Cup so far, there's 10 minutes of stoppage time afterwards, and they're getting into stoppage time, and the announcers are saying, and Iran is just, they're on the front foot. They are playing the better soccer, and they're up a man. And the announcers say they've been like this the whole game. What? You know? And then they score a really good goal to make it 1-0. Then they add another one because Wales now are really having to push up and try to get a draw. So they win 2-0. When you saw that result this morning, what was your reaction?
I was surprised, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because we talked, the last time we talked about this group, you know, we said, be careful about assuming that England's going to run the table, that it's going to come down to us and Wales, you know, assuming we both lose to England and we both beat Iran and it's going to come down to goal differential. Be careful about that. Don't assume anything in these games. That played out, right?
Yep.
And now you look at Iran and how are they feeling? You know, all the pressure on the world on those guys, you know, on and off the field. They had a disaster result against England in their first game. Now they've put themselves into a position they can go and advance into the knockout stages, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the way that they're looking at it, they are 100% in this tournament. And so that just made our game with Iran even harder in the third game, because Iran's going to come out and say, it's one game against the U.S. If we go out and beat these guys, we advance into the knockouts. Like, that is – that's scary. They're going to be flying around.
And I don't know if anybody's looked at a map, because I have, and I will confess, I wasn't exactly sure where Qatar was before I looked at the map. I knew it was in the Middle East, but if you just put a blank map up of the Middle East in front of me and said, okay, now tell me exactly where Qatar is, I wouldn't have been able to do this before this tournament. Now I know exactly where it is. It's a little peninsula that's right above Saudi Arabia, and right on the other side of the Persian Gulf is Iran. This is a glorified home game for these Middle Eastern teams. Saudi Arabia and Iran, if you look at the crowds, they are there. I've read about it. There's a massive population of Iranian immigrants that live in Qatar already, and it's right there, you know. And so they're basically at home. They're in the climate they're used to, with the fans supporting them, and all the emotion that you just talked about against one of their enemies that I would think most Iranians feel like the United States are enemies. Man, you're right. And I've already seen it on Twitter from people. All the United States has to do is beat Iran now. I can see. I wish you could put into words your facial reaction to my sentence there.
Oh, it drives me crazy. Like, you know, we talk about storylines, you know, and today is probably the biggest storyline that we've ever had, just because of U.S. England, and it is Black Friday, and that's the reason why we are here today. But, you know, looking ahead to this next game against Iran, you want to talk about storylines. I mean, if the U.S., you know, loses or draws that game against Iran, the potential winner of that game is going to go on to the knockout rounds of the World Cup. What a crazy storyline.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who would have thought that?
Yeah.
U.S. plays a game against Iran in soccer, and the winner gets to go on to the knockout round?
Oh, boy. Tuesday is going to be incredible. We haven't even gotten to this game. And maybe, and I think there probably are a lot of people in England that are saying, all England has to do is beat America today, and they punch their ticket to the knockout round. And I'm guessing that the people around the England program are reminding themselves, this USA team is not a pushover. If they don't take the Americans seriously today, they'll suffer the same consequences that we've seen in these other games. We'll get to that in just a moment. But I do want to talk about whether or not this result today affects the way Greg Berhalter approaches this game. Because this result happened just hours before he's about to go out there. Has he already said to the guys the night before, here's our starting 11, period? Or does he watch this and go, hang on a second? Because here, a real quick aside here, the goalkeeper for Wales got a red card. He's now suspended for the game against England. So not only did it screw up Wales' plans today, it screws their plans up. A red card is just devastating in this competition, right? Because it doesn't just hurt you for the game that you're in, it hurts you for the next game too. A second yellow card is not quite as devastating because it doesn't rule you out of this game. There are some U.S. players that are on yellow cards coming into this game. If one of those players takes a yellow card today, they don't get thrown out of the game, but they're suspended for that game against Iran. And all of a sudden, that game seems to be the game. Like, you got to win that game. This game, it's almost like, well, it would be great to get a result today, and it would help your cause, but that's the one. Does Greg Berhalter look at it and say, you know what? Some of these guys that are on yellows, let's get them some rest. Let's make sure that they get to the Iran game on that, you know, so that they're not suspended. Maybe he was already thinking that anyway. Do you think he changes the lineup at all based on the result that happened this morning?
I don't.
Yeah.
And it's a great thought, too. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he does. You know, I definitely think that it went through his mind, but I think it went through his mind leading up to the game. I don't think there was any changes because of this result. He certainly could make lineup changes. Yellow cards could be a factor. Fitness could be a factor. But I think all those decisions were made a couple days ago. I think if you go in and change things again the day of a game because of someone else's result, I don't like the message,
message that
it sends to the team.
Yeah.
The last couple days, you know, I imagine in the U.S. camp, all they're talking about is we've got to go out and get a result against England. It's going to be about us, and all the focus is on us. And, you know, if you make decisions based on what's happening on the outside, you go against everything you're saying. And I don't know. Yeah. I don't see Greg doing that.
I think that's a very well-made point. And those yellow cards, that storyline with the yellow cards existed yesterday. It didn't just come up today. In terms of if you're thinking about, well, Sergiño Dest is on a yellow card, you were thinking about it last night. It didn't just occur to you this morning. Oh, well, now that Wales is lost, so I think you're right. Even if it is a factor, he already made his mind up probably on those things.
Yeah, no, you're right. And so one thing that I've really enjoyed about this whole experience from my standpoint this year is I get to do this with you. You know, like I get to think about this stuff.
Yeah.
Like when I was playing, you know, the last two World Cup cycles, the last, 8 years – I never thought like this. I truly thought about the next game, you know, it's all boring stuff, right? And people say, we're just focused on ourselves. Like that is what happens. That is all that happens. There is no talk about yellow cards or what the other groups are doing. You are focused on yourself and the next game, and you're trying to go out and get as much as you can from that game. And as soon as that game happens, then you move on. There's no talk about, ooh, the other team just won. If we lose here, we gotta score two. I'm loving this. Mm-hmm. Like it's really cool to think like that and to dissect. And I don't know. It's just been interesting for me. I've never been able to think like that because I've always been in it and I've been hyper focused on the game that's at hand. And it's kind of fun to. I don't know, debate about this stuff.
I'm really glad to hear that you didn't think like this at all when you were a player, though, you know, because I do think sometimes you see players get wound up in what's being said about them or the team on social media and stuff like that, and it doesn't help. Our opinions don't matter. What's great is we can sit here and talk about this all we want, but what we think of each player on the team does not matter. What matters is how they feel about themselves, how their teammates feel about them, and how their coaches feel about them. Those are the opinions that matter, and there's so much noise out there around all this stuff. I do think it's impressive if you're a competitor and able to block all that out and just go out and do your job. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, because I remember one of the things that made things so difficult from talking to you in Brazil, you guys played in all three of your games were in the northern part of Brazil, in the jungle, in terrible conditions, but your training camp was in Sao Paulo, way south. So you guys had like a 3-hour flight to each one of your games and back right after the game. This World Cup is being played in warm conditions and everything, and there's a little bit of a shorter rest time between some of these games. But every game's within a 45-minute drive. I think that stuff matters, but I just from traveling myself, I just think travel takes something out of you. Do you think that matters at all? Will that allow guys to stay fresher at all because they don't have to get on a plane and fly 3 hours to and from each one of these games?
100% it matters. But I don't know if it's an advantage to the U.S. It matters because, you know, it essentially adds another day of recovery.
Yeah.
To your preparation. So, you know, is there 4 days between the games or 4 or 5, depending on where you're at in the tournament? If you play a game at 7 o'clock at night, I'm using Brazil as an example. You play at 7, the game finishes at 9:30 or 10. You got media obligations, you got locker room stuff, you've got a shower treatment. You're probably leaving the stadium at midnight. It's a 30-minute drive to the airport. You board the plane. You fly 3.5 hours back to Sao Paulo. You get in at 3:30 or 4. You drive 45 minutes from the airport to your hotel. You get in bed at 4:30. You're still wired from the game and all the travel. You lay in bed and you can't sleep for 45 minutes. You don't fall asleep till 5:30 or 6. Like, we all know. I mean, I don't know. You've probably stayed up that late every once in a while with all your travels. Like, that throws you off.
Yes.
Like, it takes
– for a couple days.
A couple days to get that back. And so comparing that to this World Cup, you play at 7 o'clock. The game's done. You know, you shower. You drive 45 minutes, and you're back at your hotel at midnight.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, you know, you still might it might take you an hour or two to fall asleep, but like
you unwind a little bit. You can unwind in the comfort of your hotel room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the reason I said it might be an advantage, it might not for the US. You know, I think the US it's the second youngest roster in the World Cup. Greg Berhalter has brought up the point that he's going to be rotating guys. He's going to use, you know, that youth to our advantage. With the fresh legs, you know, it's scientific fact. When you're younger, you can recover faster.
Yeah.
And so, you know, having that extra day of recovery with all these other teams, I don't know. I think it probably helps maybe some of the older teams better than the U.S. But I fully expect Berhalter to use as much of the roster as he can. I expect rotation. I expect changes in every game because he wants to try and take advantage of our youth and our fitness levels.
Yeah, and there's 3 days between games. Monday was the first game for the U.S., then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the rest days, and then now we have a game on Friday. It's a little bit shorter of a window, and so maybe you make up for it with the travel. I think you make a good point. Maybe, though, for players like Weston McKennie and Sergiño Dest that were carrying Knox into this, it helps him a little bit in terms of the recovery stuff. It's going to be really interesting to see. I just wanted to get your perspective because that is a difference, a big difference between what you guys dealt with in Brazil versus what's going to be happening in Qatar. We're going to take a break. We've got Matt Beisler here in the Power and Light District. We're going to get into this USA-England game itself and the players that are on the field, the tactics that we might see play out. This is something Matt didn't get to use to do. Let's talk about how we think the U.S. should approach this game. I want to remind everybody once again, the Power and Light District is going to be absolutely full today. The tickets have sold out. You do have to have a ticket to get in. Those tickets could have been downloaded through the course of the week. You can't get them anymore because they're all out. I do want to underscore again, if you do have a ticket, that ticket does not guarantee entry. It was a free ticket. They're trying to get a head count ahead of time. You have to have that ticket to get scanned in. But once the place hits capacity, they're not going to let anybody else into the place. So your ticket does not guarantee admittance. You've got to make sure you get here before the game, well before kickoff. The gates open at 10:30. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock. Don't roll in at 1:55 thinking that you're going to get in because this place is going to be bumping. It's a holiday Friday. It's Black Friday. All the kids are back from high school, from college, all that stuff, and it's going to be amazing. We'll take a break. We'll preview the game with the one and only Matt Beisler right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Just had another great conversation during the commercial break with Matt Beisler about the book that he wrote. What year would that have been? About 2015? 26? I don't know. I can't remember, but I know that I've read the book.
2016.
My nephew's reading it right now and has told me that he's gotten all kinds of life lessons out of it already, and he's not even finished with the book yet. So if people... Is it still out there? Like, can you, you know, buy it anywhere? Do you want to give a plug to that?
Sure.
To the book?
You're
plug all your stuff, man.
Yeah, the book's called No Other Home.
Yeah.
Came out with it in 2016, and it's available wherever you can buy books.
Yeah.
You know, Amazon and, you know.
Tell you what, it is. I mean, my nephew, who is a great kid, has told me, he told me this last night. There's so many lessons about my life that I'm going to be able to use from that book going forward. First of all, I thought, well, you're a sharp kid, you know, if you're an 18-year-old and you realize that. But what a cool compliment that is to what you wrote in that book. And it really is a very inspirational book. It's a lot of the things that I think young people should hear or read.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. Thank you. And, hey, before we get into this England game, there's a bunch of texts that are coming through on our text line with people tuning in. And just the excitement is building for this game. But there's there's a family that's driving across Colorado right now, the Aldridges. And they just texted me. They're tuning in, and they're excited about the game. So I'm giving them a quick shout-out.
Let's go.
They're in eastern Colorado right now, and they can't wait to get back for the game.
Good. Well, I'm already seeing some USA national team jerseys, and a Guche Onyewu jersey just walked by.
Wow.
How about that? Oh, that's a good shout right there.
Yeah, throwback.
And so everybody's, you know, starting to trickle in a little bit, and we're getting there. Okay, so let's talk about this England versus USA game. And this England roster is stacked. They bring guys off the bench that would start for almost every other team or every other nation in the world, maybe save like France and Brazil. They have those guys coming off the bench. So they got talent all over the place. We saw what they did against Iran. They're really good. I was thinking about this American team, and this was on the drive down here today, that Matt, this was kind of the phrasing that I thought of. In terms of, like, how big of an upset would it be if the United States went out and got a result against England today? The thing that's so exciting about this U.S. men's national team is that they have a whole lot of young players who are in the same league as these guys. And I mean that from, like, a metaphorical sense. You hear that sometimes. Well, she's not even in your league, man. You know, right? Like, you use that phrase all the time, whether or not somebody's on your level. These guys are literally in the same league as most of these guys. Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, Jedi Robinson, Tim Ream, they all play in, and Josh Sargent did last year, they all play in the same league, in the Premier League with a lot of these guys. And guys like Weston McKennie and Tim Weah, who have played in the European Champions League, the UEFA Champions League, that they're in the same league. Doesn't necessarily mean they're on exactly the same level as these guys, but they're in the same league. They play these guys on a consistent basis. How big is that coming into a game like this?
It gives you confidence. Absolutely. It you know, for the longest time, every time the U.S. would come into a game against one of the powerhouses, which I consider England a powerhouse, you know, the storyline would all be the same. It's, you know, how we're so far behind these countries. You know, we don't have anybody playing in the, you know, the top leagues in Europe. That's not the case anymore. That is not the case. Mm-hmm. You can't make that argument to me. Yeah. And so I hope it gives us confidence to go in and that, you know, we're familiar with a lot of these players and, you know, we understand we can go in and compete with these guys and beat these guys. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, it's no longer thinking that we want to step on the field and play well and show the world that we belong. Like, no. We're playing to win. Like, we are going to step on the field and beat you. We're not going to play with you. We are going to beat you.
So one of the names I realized as I was running through the guys that are playing in the Premier League, I didn't even mention Christian Pulisic. Now, we talked about him before the game on Monday, and you said, look, he's the best player on the men's national team. He's the guy that I'm looking for. And in the first half, he has the assist to Tim Weah on the goal. Things are looking pretty good. I've seen a lot of criticism of Christian Pulisic in the second half of the game because there are people that have kind of put together those video clips that say, boy, the chance for the United States, the game plan in the second half was to kill Wales on the counterattack, and some of those possible counterattacks fizzled out at the foot of Christian Pulisic. Instead of making that pass forward, he tried to drive forward with the ball, and the counters kind of got gummed up a little bit. But I've also heard people defend Pulisic and say, you realize Wales kicked him all over the field from the start, and he never got any protection from the referee in the form of a yellow card or anything like that. It was obvious Wales said, that's the guy we're not going to let beat us, and they just kicked him all over the place. Where do you come down on Pulisic and what he did in the last game, and what do they need from him in this game against England?
We need Christian to make those plays. We do. He's on the field to create and to go try stuff and make those plays. I think he's in a tough situation because it's, you know, if he plays one way, there's going to be criticisms that he's too aggressive and he turns the ball over and he's trying stuff that he shouldn't. But if he plays the other way, there's going to be criticisms of, oh, he's playing too conservative. And, you know, it's a little bit like LeBron James, right?
Yeah.
Like when he always says, I got to let the game come to me. You know, the first quarter, I like to get my teammates involved and play simple. And then you're just like, why?
Yeah, Jordan would have took that game over.
Yeah, like you know, yeah. Like just go and you're the best player on the field. Go and do it. And so it is. It's a tricky situation that he's in. The thing that sort of stood out to me was the concern going into this tournament with him and a number of the U.S. players was the lack of game fitness and rhythm.
Yeah.
Right?
Because he's been coming off the bench.
Because
mostly.
You've been coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of guys in that situation, and it was a concern where, you know, these guys haven't been playing week in, week out, and is that going to show? And unfortunately, I think it did show in that game. You know, you talk about passes just not coming off or the touch was a little heavy. You know, those things are directly related to the rhythm of the game and playing week in and week out. And I think it was a big factor.
Gio Reyna not playing in the game was obviously a big talking point as well. Greg Berhalter said afterwards he picked up a little bit of a knock or had some tightness or something like that, and they wanted to be careful. Reyna said, I'm 100%. So that, you know, that just made it a little bit even more of a talking point. You think we see him tonight? And if so, like what capacity? How important is that conversation? Is that overblown? Where do you come down on all of that?
I think it's a distraction, and I would have liked to see it handled differently. You know, I don't know how you could have –
By Pulisic or by Berhalter? I'm sorry, by Reyna or Berhalter or both?
By Berhalter.
Okay.
I think Reyna, you know, when you get asked a question by the media and they ask you, hey, are you feeling good? What are you going to say? Of course you're going to say, yeah, I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
Right? You want to talk that you're confident and that you're healthy. And even if you're not feeling good or you're a little sore, you're never going to admit like, oh, you know what? I'm feeling just okay.
Yeah.
Right? That never
happens. It's the World Cup. I feel fine. I want to play.
I'm ready to play. I'm available. Like, put me in. So, like, the fact that they're asking him these questions, that is the answer you are going to get, regardless if that's true or not. So, I think the fact that it became a huge storyline, that, you know, that needs to be controlled a little bit better. I fully expect to see him. If we do not see Gio Reyna in this game, there is something going on, 100%, that we don't know about.
Yes.
And because I was shocked that he did not go into the game against Wales.
Okay, so and the other part of what Berhalter said about it was I went with Jordan Morris because I was looking for the power and the speed that he brings to the table. And I'm not one of those guys that thinks, oh, he's an MLS player, he shouldn't be in there. I think he does bring something to the table. But I felt like, well, the power and the pace would have come into play back when you were looking to counter. Now that he came in once, it was 1-1. And now Wales is back into bunkering in. Does that power and pace help you break down a low block more than the creativity and technical ability of a Gio Reyna? It just didn't seem to quite make sense to me in that regard.
No, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Where the game was at, the game, you know, Wales had already scored. It was 1-1. You know, we needed somebody to kind of unlock that block again, and that's exactly what Gio Reyna does.
All right, we'll talk about the England side of things and maybe how the United States should approach them in this game as we continue and wrap things up here from the Power and Light District. Nate Buchanan with Matt Beisler on a Black Friday edition of the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Don't touch that dial. The Border Patrol will be right back on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
There's not enough time to talk about all the things I want to talk about with Matt Beisler for this USA-England game, but let's get into how you approach this England team. We for those that don't know, they are loaded with talent. Harry Kane is one of the best number nines in the world. Bukayo Saka had two goals in the last game. He's incredible. Raheem Sterling, Jack Grealish. They got guys coming off the bench. They're incredible. From the U.S. side, What do you want to see from the lineup today? Do you what you mentioned earlier? You might see some changes. What changes would you like to see on the starting 11?
Yeah, I want there to be changes. I expect there to be changes. It's a tournament. You've got games. Hopefully, we're playing multiple games throughout this tournament.
Yeah,
I would expect. You know, I'd like to see McKinney out, and that may be an unpopular, you know, opinion. But I think that just where he's at fitness-wise, he's coming back from a quad injury. You know, he looked like he probably had about 50 to 60 minutes in his tank against Wales, and then he got pulled. And so I don't know how he recovered, but I would take McKinney out, and I would start Aronson in the center of midfield. I thought Aronson came on and looked very lively. I'd let him go as long as he can, and if the result is in our favor, just let him play out and save McKinney. He's on a yellow card.
Yeah,
and just let him rest and get him ready for Iran. Make sure he doesn't get suspended with the yellow card. And
I'm 100% with you. I love McKinney. Love
him. Same.
But I think he did not look to me like he was fully match fit yet, which means he probably needs some rest. And that whole yellow card thing. Yeah, he's on a yellow. Let's protect him because Iran, that match is so big now, especially. Yeah.
And if you need him, bring him on. If you need him for 25 minutes, how great would you see? Would you feel about? Hey, we need something. Weston McKinney's coming on the field for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Get into the box. Get on the end of stuff. Make something happen. Like, that is his game.
Yeah. And he's one of those guys you do feel like can get on the end of a set piece or a cross and actually score. There are not a lot of guys on the team right now that's their strongest suit. And it's not like it's some huge drop-off to put Brendan Aaronson in there in his place, right? That kid is incredible. I love him as a player.
Yeah, that was one of the talking points going into the tournament was how do you get Aaronson on the field?
Yeah. Which is a great problem to have.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
So, you know, I think that's one change that we'll probably see that I would look to see. I expect there to be two to three changes, maybe four changes in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I think anything more than that, you know, is not a good thing because, you know, you get your team out of rhythm. But I do. I think there needs to be changes. The change that I'm really curious to see, and I just have no idea where it's going to go, is what they're going to do up top.
Yeah.
You know, I think Sargent played pretty well.
Yeah. Well, he had that one header that hit off the bar from a tough angle, but that could have gone in.
Yeah.
Maybe it changes everything. But okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, so I could see somebody else getting a starting nod in the number nine position. And, you know, could be one of the guys that actually plays number nine. Or what I would like to see and could see is Timothy Weah moving from the winger position into the starting number nine role. And that allows you to get Gio Reyna on the field at winger, where he's probably most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it all probably comes down to if Gio Reyna is available, and is he available to start?
Yeah.
If he is, that's what I would like to see. If he's not, then I think you keep Weah on the wing, and you put somebody else up there at number nine. Maybe even Sargent again.
Whether he starts or not, if Reyna doesn't play in this game, as you said, there's something going on we don't know about, you know, and that's going to be a fascinating storyline going forward. The thing about Weah, you're not the first person to bring this up. Chad Reynolds on the podcast that we do for Sporting Kansas City Soccer Capital, he brought that up. He wants to see him start at the nine. It makes me nervous because it's something we haven't seen, something that they haven't practiced at. I love the pace of Weah on the wing, obviously, is a big weapon. How hard is it for a guy to transition to that position of the number nine? And can he still? Does the pace still work up there as much as it does out on the wing for him?
That's a great question, Nate. It is. I think it just depends on the guy. Some guys are able to do that, and some guys aren't. And I think it just comes down to him. You know, is he comfortable doing that? Is he able to do it? If he is, then I think it's worth a shot. But if he's not comfortable, or you know, he's shown that maybe his speed isn't as effective at the number nine position, then don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I guess that's part of, you know, like, yeah, what's his hold-up play like? You know, against those center backs of England, if the United States are in those moments under pressure and they need to relieve it by just getting it up top, is he going to be able to hold on to the ball? I don't even know. I haven't seen that position.
I'm shaking my head right now because we're having this debate before the game.
Yeah.
And we're having these questions. Like, that, I don't know if that's a good thing or not. Like, imagine – how nice would it be to have Harry Kane right now?
I mean, that's
on your roster where it's like, we're not even talking about this or thinking about it. Everybody just knows.
Yeah, and that's to go back to it. We're going to talk and talk about why this team can win, this United States team. They can win. If somebody asked me, they have any chance today. Saudi Arabia beat Argentina. Japan beat Germany. Those would, I think, be bigger upsets than the United States beating England right now. So would it be an upset? Yes. Why would it be an upset? Because they have one of the greatest number nines in the world, and we're not even sure who our number nine is. You know, they've got guys coming off the bench that would start for almost every team in the country. We got a couple guys coming off the bench that are really, really good players, but it would be an upset today. But it wouldn't be the biggest upset, not even of this first week of the tournament. So let's see what happens.
Yeah. What about predictions? I know we've got a few minutes here. Predictions.
I haven't gone that far yet. I'm gonna say it's another 1-1 draw.
Okay.
You know, I'm gonna say it's another 1-1 draw. The United States get a goal somewhere. England get a goal, and we're talking about the United States with 4 points going into a must-win game against Iran. What do you say?
I like a draw as well, but I'm going to go 2-2.
Okay.
I think it's going to be open.
Yeah.
Selfishly, we're down here at the Power and Light. I want to see this place erupt. I want to see as many goals as we can. I'm here. I'm excited. I want to party with the fans and celebrate. So 2-2 is my prediction.
Okay. There we go. And, hey, maybe it's a win. I'm with you. Like, I hope everybody just has a great time down here today. You know, I'll underscore this as we close out the show here this morning. Matt's going to be up on stage talking about some keys to the game and all that. We were reminded, you know, that this is not a birthright to get to watch your team play in the World Cup. Just because you're the United States playing in CONCACAF doesn't mean you get in it. You're guaranteed three of these moments in 4 years by qualifying to the World Cup. It's going to be coming to the United States in 4 years from now. Whatever happens today, enjoy it. You know, enjoy the opportunity to see our city featured across the world. There's one town in the United States of America that's having watch parties on this scale, and it's this city, your city, Kansas City. And if you can't take pride in that and enjoy those moments, I don't know what to tell you. None of us know what's about to happen in this game at 1 o'clock. And we can't control that. That's what makes sports so exciting. That's why there's a nervous energy building around here. So enjoy this moment today, wherever you are. If you're down here in the Power and Light with people, if you're watching it with your family and friends somewhere, you know, enjoy the company that you're with and soak it all in and don't take it for granted. And don't get so hung up on the result that you let it ruin everything else. And hopefully the result's so great that it just adds to the wonderful emotions that we have here today. I want to thank Marco for on a Black Friday coming in and working a great show. Stan Weber joined us. Of course, our three guys on the Big 12 or the Border Patrol Blitz with Matt Walters, Gabe DeArmond, and John Kirby. Dion Clisso for talking high school sports. And thank you for listening as well. Happy Black Friday and go USA!
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.